Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. If you'd like to join me here in the studio today, well, maybe not in the studio. If you'd like to join me, I'm in the studio. You're out there. Give me a call. The number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind and what's weighing on you. So last week I wasn't here because I was evacuated for four nights because of the fires here in Southern California in LA. Very, 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 very scary. Obviously, I couldn't make it into the station. But tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And right now, I am feeling... there's already a caller. All right, I'm going to get to that later. Hi, four caller. Nights. Welcome to the show.
Here in Southern California in LA. Very, 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 very scary.
Hello?
Hi there. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi. Yes. My name is Carly Gash, and I'm calling to Dr. Nina's show.
Hi, Carly Gash. Welcome.
Thank you.
How can I help? What's on your mind today?
Dr. Nina told me to call her show a couple of weeks ago.
This is Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Carly Gash.
Hi, Carly Gash. How are you?
Because you are talking there, and I just cannot figure out what's going on.
Oh, you know what? If you're listening, there's a delay. If you're listening, there's a little delay. So you're hearing me a little bit after I've actually talked. But we're on together. I'm glad that you called.
Great. Thank you very much. So is there any specific topic or just
no? What's on your mind? What's eating at you? How can I help you?
Oh, I'm going through a very tough situation in my life.
Yeah.
With my boyfriend, and before I used to just be offended and eat my stuff. Eat my emotions out with food. But surprisingly, this time I don't eat much, and I'm processing and feeling them,
which is wonderful.
That's a very new experience, I would say, a very new experience, and it's all so new, and I'm scared. I don't know how to navigate because I like to control things. At least be the things familiar to me, but now it's all new. But I found out one thing.
Yes.
I process my emotions and I feel my feelings. I don't actually die.
Yes.
And
no one has ever died from feelings.
And,
it's
well,
true. You may feel like you're going to die, but no one has ever died from feelings. They may take action that is destructive to themselves, but feelings themselves are not fatal. And so you're saying that by expressing and feeling what's going on with you, you realize you're not turning to food, which is awesome.
Thank you. Yes. And it's actually a very new experience for me. But before it really felt that I'm going to die. And I turned 34 this year. And this is, I think, the first time in my life when I actually start feeling. And you know what? It's easier to handle food.
Yes.
It's easier to handle food when I'm focused on emotions and what's going on in my life.
Yeah, because if you are actually dealing with the emotion, you're not using eating to distract yourself from the emotion. And that's why then lunch becomes lunch and dinner becomes dinner, not like a battleground. So good for you.
Yes. Exactly. And I would like to thank you for helping me in that a lot.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad that you were able to incorporate my philosophy and make it yours, and that you're freeing yourself from this awful battle that lots of people say, oh, they're going to have to, if they have food issues, they're going to have to deal with it their whole lives. And I say, no, you can radically, totally transform your relationship to food by changing your relationship to yourself. And
thank
I guess that's
so
what
much.
You're doing.
You are the first person who told me that I can actually change it. And I'm very happy I met you, and I'm very happy you helped me to do that. I'm still on my way, but it got much, much better than it used to be.
Carly Gash, thank you for starting off this pre-Thanksgiving show, which we're going to talk about how to deal with Thanksgiving and all of that, but also talking about gratitude. And I'm very grateful that I've been able to help you and other people. That's incredibly moving to me. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye for now. Aw, that's so nice. It always feels really good when someone calls me or lets me know that they're this sort of different way of thinking about binge eating or stress eating or overeating or what eating disorders or disordered eating or whatever you want to call it, that they've been able to incorporate this and really change their lives. So that makes me feel good. All right, so I was saying that I was feeling incredibly grateful and thankful to the firefighters who saved our community of Calabasas, most of our community. I do know people who lost their homes. It could have been way worse, way, way worse. These firefighters are true heroes. And I wish it didn't take something like a fire or 9/11, some tragedy, some catastrophe, to make us appreciate these brave men and women who literally put their lives on the line for us. And I just want to quickly share what my daughter wrote. She wrote a little letter to the firefighters, and she just turned 11. So she wrote, "Dear firefighters, thank you so much for saving our homes. I'm so grateful you do what you do. Risk your life for ours. You truly mean a lot, because I was so worried our house was going to burn down, but I knew you would save it. You are a hero. Sincerely, the Rockland family." I just had to share that. So if you're a firefighter or you know one, thank you from the bottom of our family's hearts. I also want to thank you guys. I got a lot of messages on Instagram and Facebook about Zane. For those of you who don't know Zane, he is my 170-pound deaf and partially sighted, a little blind Great Dane who thinks he's a lap dog. And he is fine. He got a lot of love while we were evacuated. And here's another caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Nick.
Nick. Hi, Nick. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Well, I'm calling with good news. Good news. I'm not calling to complain today. So I've been I'm kind of happy about this. But after all my craziness and this and that, I started to walk. I finally got off the couch.
Oh, wait. Wait. Yay! If you guys have been listening to the show for a while, you know what it's taken for Nick to get off the couch and walk. So tell us. Share your victory.
It just hit me, and I woke up one morning, and I said, I have to do it. And I went out and I walked, and then I walked again the next day, and I actually woke up, you know, looking forward to walking. You know, my
what changed?
My body feels better.
Like what changed in your mindset to make you go from I dread that, you know, I'd rather, you know, stick a pin in my finger than go walking, to hey, I can't wait to get out there. What changed?
I was just wasting my life away. And I had to say to myself, you can't do this to yourself. You have to do this. You know, it's been too long. And it just woke up one morning and saying, I'm going to walk.
So you encouraged yourself.
And I've been walking every day. And it's so, it's very funny having some experiences. I met a nice person walking, and I talked to this person when I did this, and it was really, you know, a lot of fun. And I feel better. I mean, I say I feel better mentally. My body is aching, but that's just part of the what comes with the walking and getting my body moving. So I'm happy and I'm doing it, and it's not killing me. I'm walking a nice little distance to myself, and I feel better. And even it was just interesting. I'm doing more around the house that I'm walking. I'm not just sitting on the couch. I mean, the things that have to be done in the house to move or could clean up a little better and this, that, and so on. And it's making me, it's changing me. It's changing things and what's going on with me. I know it's really early to talk about it, but I'm doing it.
Can I? And that's amazing. So, but I want to offer a different perspective. You're thinking that walking has made you able to do more things in your life and just have a better attitude and feel good. I think it's the opposite. I think that you've changed your attitude and your mindset in some way that's allowed you to go take walks, meet new people, get off the couch, do other things. Right? It's really not the walking that's done this for you. It's your relationship to yourself and your outlook and your mindset that's allowed you to walk and do a lot of other things that you want to do. So I think you should be really proud of yourself, because it's hard to change the way you think, but it is possible.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and it's a good thing. And I'm glad calling you to tell you something good instead of complaining.
Wait, I just have to take, I have to take, no, wait, complaining, no, yeah. Oh, I just love these sounds, like Ronan, thank you so, Ronan and Alan, my engineers, thank you so much for providing me with these. I'm having way too much fun with them today. Look, Nick, no, you're not complaining.
Yeah.
You're sharing what's on your mind. You're sharing what's eating at you. That's not complaining. Or if it is complaining, who cares? Why is complaining so bad? You're not, my grandmother would have said kvetching, which means like just complaining and whining. No, you're talking about things that are on your mind and bothering you that are affecting your relationship to food. So never apologize for that. It's what's eating at you, what's weighing on you, not complaints.
What's eating me?
Oh, I think I lost him.
Hmm.
Hi, you're on with Dr. Nina. Nick, if you're listening to this, I think I lost you. I'm so sorry, but I hope you heard what I said about that you are not complaining, you are sharing. And if you don't pay attention to what's going on in you, you know, that's when you become vulnerable to using food in some way. So feel free to call and share anytime. And welcome to my new caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Nicole, how are you?
Hi, Nicole. Good to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving almost.
Happy almost Thanksgiving to you. And actually, my question this week kind of pertains to the holiday coming up. And I'm just, like, wondering. By the way, we missed you last week.
Oh, thanks. I wish I had been here, too.
We missed you. But so I'm just wondering, like, with the holiday, you know, like, I know that I might allow myself to, you know, I don't want to say indulge, but, you know, have what I kind of want. And I just don't know how to prevent like one quote-unquote indulgence to lead to like a bunch, and how to kind of like reset or like not feel guilty about it and just like enjoy and not let it spiral into like a whole day of like bad food decisions. and how to kind of like reset and just like be mindful?
Well, I think that the answer is partially in the good food, bad food, right thing. Like,
right.
So it's the anticipation of deprivation, right? Oh, I'm going to have this bad food that I normally can't have because it's Thanksgiving. So, you know, if I have one slice, I might as well have, you know, five slices. Not that that's
right.
You, but that's the kind of mentality that happens. Like, if I can't have something
right.
and I give myself to have something now, I better have it while it's Thanksgiving, because tomorrow I'm going to start over and be good again. Does that sound familiar?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course,
so,
that's me.
So the key is to say it's not a bad food or a good food. It's like I can have it anytime. I can get pumpkin pie or whatever anytime I want. And today I'm going to have some of it, and I'm going to see if I really like it. Like, is this good pumpkin pie or not good pumpkin pie? And just allow yourself to not think about, like, I'm having it today and that's
right.
it. That's why,
right.
You know, I don't know if you have any skinny friends who are naturally skinny, not because they're always dieting and restricting, but because they have a different mindset. And I remember way before, when I was like in high school, when I was totally in my eating disorder, I had this friend and she was like a stick, but we'd go out to lunch and she'd order like the most giant burger and fries. And then she would have whatever she wanted. And sometimes she would eat all of it, and sometimes she would only eat some of it. And I realized later, looking back, it's because she realized she could have it whenever she wanted it. Then she sometimes had it because she was hungry, and sometimes she didn't. So it's that, it's if you take away the anticipation of deprivation, then you can have it. But then I also have a practical strategy for you. So, let's say you've had, like, what's the bad food you're afraid of having?
On Thanksgiving, probably like dessert.
Yeah. Okay. So can we use pumpkin pie as an example?
Sure.
So let's say you have that first piece of pumpkin pie. And then you start having that thought of, I want another piece. I want another piece of pumpkin pie. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm being bad, right? And then you start this horrible, like internal battle where it's just about not having that second piece of pie. So here's what you do. You realize, think about surfing. Have you ever gone surfing? I know you live in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Okay, you've gone surfing.
I have done surfing once in my life.
Okay. So I have never been surfing because I don't do the ocean, but I have seen surfers. So you know how you go up, the waves go up, and then eventually they crest, and then they crash down. So think of that as like an urge to have the second piece of whatever, or, you know, whatever.
Oh, so it will crash eventually if I just wait it out.
Yes, this works with panic attacks and urges to have more. It also works with, you just go, okay, I'm going to surf the wave. I'm just going to go along with it.
What do you do until it passes? Just like distract yourself kind of?
No, you're like, it's okay. This is not going to let you encourage yourself. I'm on the wave. It's not going to stay this intense.
Okay.
It's super intense right now, but it's not going to be intense. It's gonna crash down, right?
I freaking love that. That's like one of the best things you've ever said to me. That so resonates in like every way.
I am so
just
glad.
Ride the wave till the craving crashes.
Yeah,
because it will.
Surf the craving.
Okay.
The binge. Surf the craving. Surf the whatever. And when you remember that and you kind of have that visual, I like it because there's a visual to it where you can imagine, it really can't last. Can't last, just like a wave can't last.
Yeah, you're so, right. Love that. So good. I'm going to think about you tomorrow.
Okay. And also, here's another really important thing. A lot of people, they make the mistake of going, okay, I'm going to totally pig out a Thanksgiving later, so I'm going to skip breakfast and lunch. And that way, I'm going to store my calories for later, and it's not going to count. Okay, this is a mistake, because all that happens is your you get super starving, your blood sugar drops,
right.
Maybe your metabolism temporarily slows, you're ravenously mm-hmm. hungry, and so when you start eating, mm-hmm. you just can't find full fast enough,
right.
And then you end up overeating. So just have...
Don't go hungry.
Don't go hungry. Do not go to
We're
Thanksgiving
We're actually hosting
hungry.
At my house, though, so I think I'll have more control because I know what's on the menu, and I... like, you know, can kind of like pick and choose like what I'll know what I'll have. I can kind of like pre-plan, so it's not like unexpected where you like get to someone's house and you're like, what's going on? And I actually read in an article recently that even if you're going to someone else's house, I'm just sharing this for other people who are listening, but it said something like, don't be shy to ask the host like what's on the menu so you can kind of pre-plan. And also like, if it's like a buffet style or whatever, like kind of walk around and invest, like observe everything that's on the table before you like start filling your plate. And I thought that was really useful too.
Yes, that's useful. And it won't matter what's on the menu if you tell yourself, I'm not going to think of this as being bad. I'm just going to think of this as,
right.
what do I feel like having? You know, maybe,
right.
You know, sometimes sometimes we're like, oh, I gotta have those mashed potatoes because I can never have mashed potatoes. But we don't think, do I like mashed potatoes that much? You know, I mean, maybe you do, but maybe you don't.
I don't like mashed potatoes, actually. I'm like not into that. So
yeah. So if you don't like it, don't eat it, even if it's something that think you're supposed to.
Yeah, you're right. Can I ask you another question?
Of course. Yes, we have time.
Okay. So, okay, one is about, like, the peanut butter, because, like, I'm calling all the time and asking you about peanut butter. And the other question is just kind of about, well, let me ask about the resetting, because it kind of is related to this. So I understand, like, not to do the anticipation of deprivation, mm-hmm. but let's just say, like, you had a bad meal, and then it spirals into a second bad meal, and then it spirals into, like, a whole day, and then, like, 2 days, and then 3 days, like, how do you stop? Because what happens is, like, when I feel like I'm doing well, I kind of, like, go with that momentum, and I, like, you know, I just, like, continue on a good path. But sometimes when I feel like I did, quote-unquote, bad, but I know that I have to change the bad from the beginning, but let's say I cannot.
Okay.
How do I stop? Like, how do I reset? How do I, like, just stop? Because when I feel bad, then it just, like, continues being bad. Like,
yes.
I don't know how to just, like, reset.
You have to... Well, you have to access your encouraging part of you, the access your friend, because when you're being bad and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I had that. Now I've had 4 days of bad and I got to reset. And how could I have done that? And I regret everything I've eaten in the last 72 hours. And right. That kind of self-recrimination.
Yeah.
Then you're just feeling bad about yourself because of the way that you're talking about yourself. But if you think about what you'd say to a friend, like if a friend came to you and said, I had 4 days of like the worst eating ever, like everything I ate was junky and filled with sugar and fat and it was just all bad and I hate myself, what would you say to your friend?
That's really smart, actually. I would say, like, just don't feel bad about it. Don't feel guilty. Like, what's done is done. You can't change it. You're beautiful, and just, like, today is a new day, so just, like, go back to your normal self, and, like, before you know it, like, you'll be back to normal. I don't know.
Yes.
I would say something like that.
Exactly. But do you say something like that to yourself? No.
No. No. Yeah, you're right. It's because of the emotion. Sometimes I'm talking to my best friend, and she'll ask me for advice, and it's, like, it's so easy to give her advice because I'm not emotionally involved, but like easier said than done. You know what I mean? Kind of like it's so easy to give other people advice, but like when you're in the moment and you're like emotional about it, it's hard to like access that. That's the problem.
Yes. I think you have to remember this eating. There's a lot of shame around making bad food choices. Right? There's a lot of shame. That's why we call ourselves good when we're eating clean and bad when we're not. Bad is shame.
Right.
So it's even worse than guilt. Guilt is, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that and that and that and that and that. Shame is, oh, there's something wrong with me because I ate all of that. Like, I feel ashamed of myself. And when you're dealing with shame, it's really hard to get unstuck from that. And so you have to remember that, you didn't do something wrong. Eating bad food is not a criminal act. There was a reason you did it. Tell yourself, there's a reason that I made those choices. And I'm figuring it out. And I'm trying my best to know, like, what is this doing for me, kind of a thing. And then when you relate to yourself in kind of a friend way, hey, be curious, not critical, right? Why was it that it was so hard for me to make healthy choices? What was I escaping from? Because if I'm focusing on, oh, all the bad things that I ate in the last 3 or 4 days, what was I not looking at in my life? Because often it's easier to go, I can't believe what I ate, and focus on that instead of, oh, there's things in my life I can't control and it feels bad and I'm worried, right? So instead of focusing on that you ate it, focus
why?
On why.
Like, access the mental part?
Yes.
Yeah.
Focus on why, okay, in a cool. reassuring way.
I'm going to write this down. Access the mental part. What's going on mentally? Okay.
I have this magic wand in my office, and one time someone said to me, you know, that magic wand really does work, just slowly. So I tell people, hey, if this magic wand worked really fast and I could take away all your thoughts about what you ate, what you weigh, blah, blah, blah,
right.
what would be on your mind? What would you be thinking
right.
about? That is what you're distracting yourself from by focusing on food.
Right. By the way, where's your office, Dr. Nina?
My office is in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, nice.
So for those of you who are listening, I know I have a lot of international listeners. LA is not like, it's a city full of a little bunch of areas. So it's kind of in the middle where people come to me from. South, east, west, north. Yeah, I'm at the...
Nice. And do you do Skype?
I do. Yes, I do. I do. I do Zoom. I do Skype. I'm actually... Cool. My practice is full, but I'm creating a new coaching program that's going to be launching in January. So I'll be sharing the...
Your practice is full, though?
Yeah, my practice is full, yeah. But new program coming. If you want information or details, be sure to reach out, and I'll let you know. And I'll be sharing it here too, for those of you who want to maybe connect
also,
via,
you had an eating,
via Zoom.
You had an eating disorder
in a kind of a
when
program,
you were younger?
Structured program way.
I'm sorry. Hello.
I think I lost you. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah, Dr.
I'm
Nina.
Having some issues with my sound. So I don't know if you can hear me. But
I can hear you.
Nicole, thank you so much for calling in, and have a very happy Thanksgiving. Please let us know how it goes. Okay, I have no sound. Hopefully everyone can hear me. All right. Okay, hopefully you guys can hear me. Someone will let me know if not. Ronan, Alan, if you're listening, let me know, because I'm not getting anything from my calls. Okay. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ronan and Alan. You guys can hear me. Yay. All right. So, Thanksgiving. Let us talk about Thanksgiving. Let us talk about the holidays, because Thanksgiving is really the first part of the holidays in which all of a sudden, every TV commercial, every magazine ad, everywhere you look, Instagram, Facebook, everything is about these happy families gathered around the table, looking all grateful and beaming and happy and thin and all of that stuff. And, you know, if that's your reality and everyone's a happy family, awesome. You are so lucky. But for most people, That is a complete fantasy, not even close to reality. So today I want to give some tips and strategies for how to survive the holiday season without losing control over food and without losing your mind. So first, let's get the bad news out of the way. Studies show that if you gain weight over the holidays, you tend not to lose it in January. Despite your good intentions and commitment to be healthy, aka going on a diet, statistics are not in your favor. I'm sorry, the chances are high that your New Year's diet will not work. But the good news is, it doesn't have to be that way. You can survive the holidays without gaining weight, and I'm gonna tell you exactly how to break that cycle. So there are two main causes of anxiety at the holidays. One is food and one is family. So let's talk about food first. First of all, I know a lot of you are not in the United States, but you can relate to the fact that Thanksgiving is known as National Binge Day, a whole day devoted to excess. It's when you're supposed to eat until you are in a stupor. It's even considered bad manners not to taste everything on the table. Oh, needless to say, if you struggle with food, this can be extremely challenging. Understatement of the year, right? So here's how to deal with food at the holidays. I already talked to Nicole about don't restrict, don't skip breakfast and lunch in order to, you know, save room for Thanksgiving. And this applies to Christmas or Hanukkah dinner or Kwanzaa dinner or whatever you happen to celebrate. Dieting over the holidays, restricting or ever, will backfire. Diets fail because on some level they are always about deprivation, and that always leads to overeating or binging. And this is because the anticipation of not being able to eat what you want will make you want it more. And if you're thinking the whole time about not eating pumpkin pie or Christmas cookies, then you've got pie and cookies on your mind all day. And that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you're eating instead of why. So diets fail because they only deal with food. And they don't address the underlying stuff that's going on that's making you turn to food in the first place, for comfort, for distraction, to numb yourself against difficult feelings, to symbolically fill a void, lots of different reasons. So the key to change is to stop dieting and start tuning into what's eating at you. And again, as I was talking to Nicole, when you allow yourself to have something, you can decide if you want it or not. That's how naturally thin people stay thin. They're like, man, I'm done. I can have this burger later. I can have more pumpkin pie later. Or this pie isn't really all that good. So this holiday season, give yourself permission to ditch dieting. And by the way, when I make this suggestion to the patients in my private practice, they get super anxious. One woman said, You know that movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? You know that really spoiled rich girl who turned into a giant blueberry and had to be rolled out by the Oompa Loompas? I'm like, yeah, yeah. She's like, that's going to be me. I'm going to blow up like a giant blueberry. People are going to have to roll me around. People say, you know, if I start eating, I'm never going to stop. That's the fear. I'll double my weight by New Year's if I don't stick to a diet. Okay, that's the fear. But fears are not facts. In fact, this has never happened. Never, never, ever. Everyone's like, I can't give myself to eat what I permission to eat what I want and stop when I'm full or decide if I want it. I'm just going to eat the kitchen. But in fact, they find that that is not what happens. They find themselves eating less, and they're amazed. And that is what happens. It happens for them. Believe me, it can happen for you. Now, there is a second issue with food on Thanksgiving and other holidays, which is that everyone talks about food a lot. They talk about what they're cooking, what their menu's going to be. They say, here, oh, just try this, or just have one bite of this. Eat some more. What, you don't want my special pie that I baked for 7 hours? They either try to get you to eat more, or they try to get you to eat less, sometimes both, which is really crazy making. And people who basically try to force feed you get offended if you don't try anything. You know, like, I can't believe that I slaved all week for this meal and you're not eating everything. And then, of course, they always guilt you for then eating it. Right. You know, it's like that aunt who says, you know, I know you're watching your weight, but you just got to try my butter and cream mashed potatoes. You just got to have them. One bite won't hurt you. Go on. And then you have it. You have the stupid butter and cream mashed potatoes. And you have one bite and someone else says, hey, watch it. That's a heart attack waiting to happen. Or, ooh, you had the one bite of the on the lips and a lifetime on the hips or something. Then there are the people who watch every bite they eat and every bite you eat. They'll say, oh, I shouldn't have this as they're eating it. Or they'll say to you, this is worse. Do you think you should eat that? Do you really need that? Then... Oh, this is my personal pet peeve. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're good. We're good. There are people who talk about food as if it's a person. They're like, oh, what a beautiful turkey. Oh, everything looks gorgeous on this table. I am in love with this sweet potato pie. Okay. Alrighty. Personally, I don't think food is beautiful or gorgeous. And, you know, people are beautiful inside and out. People are gorgeous. Love belongs to relationships between humans and dogs and cats. Pets. You love your husband. You love your wife. You love your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids, your parents. You love your family, your friends. Sweet potato pie isn't worthy of your love. Then there are the picky eaters. The picky eaters. Like the vegetarians who look disapprovingly at you as you eat turkey, while they extol the virtues of their tofurkey. Okay, this is funny. This is such a funny story. So my husband was once at a Thanksgiving dinner with some vegans. This is before I met him. He's at Thanksgiving dinner with vegans who bring their tofurkey and their own unsweetened cranberry sauce, okay? And they're like, oh, have my natural cranberry sauce. And he takes it and it's like, ah, like eating lemons, right? And he's like, why don't you put some sweetener in it? Oh, well, we don't believe in processed foods, so we're certainly not going to use sugar. And he said, well, why don't you just use honey? And they said, we're not using honey because bees make honey against their will. No offense to animal activists, but bees aren't actually slaves working in little work camps, little honey work camps. They make honey because that's what bees do. But this is part of the nuttiness that can happen at Thanksgiving. And it leads me to the other issue of Thanksgiving, family. And before I continue, I want to invite anyone else who wants to talk with me about what's going on with them in the holidays or anything you want to share, either things you're struggling with or things you're grateful for. Give me a call, 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. Okay, so again, it's the holidays. It seems like everybody is living in that Hallmark commercial. Everyone is having a perfect, lovely, fabulous family experience, except you. I could feel that way. So here's how to deal with people over the holidays. And by the way, if you have that wonderful, loving family, and you're like, Dr. Nina, I don't know what you're talking about. My family, we all love each other, and we all get along all the time, and we are a living Hallmark commercial, then, oh, you are so lucky. Please call me and share your secret. I would love to know. But for the rest of you, here's how to deal with people over the holidays. Be a social anthropologist, because family get-togethers can be huge triggers. And if you feel like you morph into a 10-year-old every time you step into the house you grew up in, the holidays can be very unsettling. And if your family makes comments about what you're eating, oh, even worse. And when you sense that other people are mentally calculating how much weight you've gained since last year, or wondering why you haven't lost weight, or whatever, since I last saw you, it really feels humiliating. So the key is to be a social anthropologist, to be an observer. So keep the focus on what you think of them instead of what they might be thinking of you. So when you're listening and you're observing, you're not a participant, right? You're not going like, oh, please don't look at me and mentally gauge how much weight I've gained, or, you know, don't think bad thoughts about me, and you're cringing and dodging and trying, you know, like, ooh, let me just escape your gaze and have some pie. When you get some distance from the situation by observing, then the spotlight is on them and not you. And you get some perspective. For example, when your mom or dad or grandparents criticize your sister or brother or cousin or themselves or you, you can see how you learn to criticize yourself. When you realize that your mom apologizes for every bite she eats, you'll understand why you feel guilty for every bite you eat. Sorry to my mom, but every time she eats something, she's like, oh, I don't know why I'm so hungry. Oh, I worked out extra hard today. That must be why I'm so hungry. Like, every time she eats something, the woman apologizes as if it's a crime, as if other people are thinking, why are you eating that? And you know, they may be. So observe your family members as if they were actors in a play. And there are usually certain types of people that are part of your family. Okay, so let's talk about the types of people that might be. First of all, they're the drunk friends and relatives. And either they're happy drunks or they're angry drunks. Neither of them is all that much fun. Happier drunks are more fun. But when people are drunk and you know, they get inebriated, they tend to say things they would not ordinarily say, and they make comments about your weight and about your life choices. Super annoying. Then there are the people who have the perfect lives. They're the overly cheerful, aren't we happy and isn't everything perfect people? And they prefer living in a fantasy world to living in the real world. And for those of us in the real world, that can be really frustrating. So the message is, nothing should bother you. Be happy. That discounts reality and is very frustrating. Life is not perfect, and living in denial does not help. And plus, you don't want to feel bad about your own life because it's not perfect. Like Nick earlier was apologizing for his previous calls, which he termed to be complaining. No, that's just life. It's just something you're struggling with. It's something that's going on. Okay, another category of people, jealous relatives. You know them. You know them, the ones who want what you have and begrudge you your happiness. If you got a new car, they're going to buy a better car. Or they can't believe they, oh, speaking of Nick, he's calling me back. Hi, Nick. I'm glad you called back.
Yes, thank you. You know, because I have another question for you that's bothering me. I'm going to Thanksgiving dinner with a lot of people. And how would you act if the people start talking about politics?
Ooh.
And how do you handle that?
Oh, that is a good question, Nick, because I come from a family of extremely liberal, staunch Democrats, and we have a couple of super Republicans in our family, and it's not pretty. It's tough. I think that I would say, hey, it's Thanksgiving. Politics is a divisive issue. What do you say we leave politics off the table today? Let's talk about what we're grateful for, not what's going on in the world, just today. We could talk about politics and Trump and whatever tomorrow, but today, let's have a politic-free day. Let's have a politics diet today. That's honestly what I would recommend.
That's a good one. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's tough because never ever has an issue been more divisive in this country. Never ever have people stopped talking to friends or cut off from relatives or It's because of the political issue in this country. It's extremely divisive, and there's no way to talk, to listen to it, whatever side you're on, and be okay. The best thing is just don't even talk about it. Just don't talk about it.
Okay. Don't talk about it.
Don't talk
about
it. Well,
I hope it doesn't come up, but that's a real good way to handle it. Very,
yeah,
politically right. You know, that sounds. All right, and you and your family and your dog have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, and I'll see you soon.
That sounds good, Nick. Have a happy Bye. Thanksgiving, and congratulations on making the and changing your mindset. It's a big achievement. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So different types of family members, jealous relatives. Either you get a new car and they're going to get a better car, or they are like, oh, well, we're not ostentatious like you are. Like, we don't feel the need to get a Tesla, you know, something like that. They put down your choices out of jealousy. Then there are kind of the show-offs. They think they're better than anybody else because they can outspend everyone in the family, and therefore they think they're all that. So annoying. Then there are the living in the past people. Their main topic of conversation is how great it used to be back in the day. They can't handle being in the present. Worse, they bring up their version of how things were in your past. You were always such a chubby little thing. Oh, you always did so great in school. I would have thought you would be on top of the world by now. Things like that. So those are some categories. Think about... on my phone. Think about which category matches your family. When you're observing others, you don't feel as much under scrutiny and under observation, which makes you feel less self-conscious, and it makes you just feel better. When you feel better, guess what? You're not thinking about food. You're not coping with food. You don't need to cope with food when you're feeling good. I only have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to start talking about this. Might have to finish next week, but let's see how we get. The other way to deal with family is to be prepared. Be ready with clever comebacks. Benjamin Franklin once said, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." On the other hand, by preparing, you're going to succeed. So remember that going home for the holidays can cause a temporary regression. If you, again, feel like that 10-year-old or 5-year-old or teenager, or you don't feel like your adult self the minute you go to your childhood home or wherever else, it could be really difficult to hang on to your adult self. And it could be really difficult, even if you don't regress, to know what to say when people say stupid things. So having snappy comments is going to help you through. So when people say things like, do you really need to eat that? Oh, you put on a few pounds since last year, huh? Or, hey, save some for the rest of us. You'll know exactly what to say. So here's one thing to do. Set limits. Say, I'm not talking about my weight. I'm not talking about what I'm eating, period. And then you change the subject. Or you say, you know what? I don't like talking about my weight, so I would prefer if you don't bring it up. And they're going to go, ooh, she doesn't like bringing it. And you just ignore it. So that's one way to do it. Just set a limit. No, we're not talking about that. Kind of like with politics. We're not going there. No. The other way is to use humor. Say, no, I don't think I need that, but I sure do want it. Why, you got a problem with that? My weight is a number and it is unlisted. If they say, oh, you've packed on a few pounds since last year, you say, yeah, thank you for noticing. Here I thought nobody paid attention to me. Or, you're absolutely right. Curvy is the new black, didn't you hear? Wow, I actually have gained weight. Thank you for letting me know, because otherwise it would totally have escaped my attention. I had no idea. Wow, let's alert the media. Yet another way is to deflect. Oh, just going to make it. You say, So what's new with you? So how are you these days? Like, you literally don't answer the question. Oh, you know, do you think you should eat that? Yeah, you know, what are your plans for next year? My weight isn't really that interesting to me. So what's been going on with you? And if they say they're only asking because they're worried about your health, that's a big one. Oh, we're only worried about your health. You say, I appreciate your concern, but I don't want to discuss it. And then you deflect or change the subject or use humor or something. Remember, this is temporary. Before you know it, the new year will be here. You will have gotten through the holidays without gaining weight and, most importantly, without feeling bad about yourself. So we're going to talk more strategies in the couple weeks to come. Thank you so much for joining me today here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can also catch this in podcast form wherever you get podcasts. Have a wonderful holiday for those of you who are celebrating Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. If not, happy beginning of the holidays. And I will see you guys next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.